Welcome to Adventures in Grace. This is Jim Hockaday, and of course, as you can see from the background here, I'm still in Pastor Adam Frederick's office here in Newtown, Connecticut, Grace Family Church. No, I haven't stayed here for 3 weeks in this chair. As you can tell, I'm recording these one after the other. But again, as you know, we just moved recently, and so everything is in disarray, and we're working through boxes to get our home back into a place in the office and everything put in place where we can just begin to do these from home. But as it is, I'm just doing this again from Adam's office. It's a beautiful day outside. There's some beautiful trees out there that just remind us of God's amazing grace. Looking at some of those colors, the brightness of the orange, the brightness of the yellow, the brightness of the red on the backdrop of the green that's still there, and some of the pine trees and the beautiful grass that's had so much rain that it's just vibrantly green. Come on, put all that together. And it's pretty special, you know, this time of year to see the colors and just be reminded, even as things are now dropping from the trees and are going into a hibernation stage, look at the color that comes before they go. Man, I just love it. Beautiful, crisp day where you can just breathe a good, hearty breath without feeling all the humidity in the air. It's just beautiful, and the things of God are so absolutely amazing. So for the next 10 minutes here, we'll make this one a little quicker here. We'll just jump right back into some of our thoughts. But before we do, I have to give you the invitation, because Jesus is always inviting you to experience exactly what he's experiencing, not only in his earth walk, but right now at the throne of God, sitting right next to the Father. How easy is it for him to hear his voice and to recognize his presence? That's right, it is. Matthew chapter 11, verse 27 to 30. And Jesus resumed talking, but now tenderly. The Father has given me all these things to do and say. This is a unique Father and Son operation coming out of Father and Son intimacies. No one knows the Son the way the Father does, nor the Father the way the Son does. But I'm not keeping it to myself. I'm ready to go over it line by line with anyone willing to listen. Are you tired? Worn out, burned out on religion? Well, obviously, if he's going to ask that question, it's not the religion that's going to help you to know the Father. We've got to break away from the religion. That's why he said that. He said, are you tired? Are you burned out, worn out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. Come on, think about that, that we could live life without being forced, where there's just a rhythm to our stride, a rhythm to the way that we hear, the way we see, the way we act, the way we function. Even when we go to the office, when we're around the kids, when we're around the wife, when we're at home, when we're doing some of our activities, there's a rhythm to it where God's actually influencing us. He went on to say, I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting upon you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn how to live freely and lightly. I think that's the most amazing invitation. And I want to take him up on that. That's why we're talking about knowing God in a tangible way, having our prayers answered, and being able to testify to the Lord's goodness. Well, last week we said some wonderful things, which was just reiterating the truth of God's word. There was a friend of mine one time before he got born again, and he loved the service. The first one came up and told me how good it was. And the next, and I asked him, would you like to be born again? He said, no, don't want to be born again. So the next week he came back up and said, man, I loved it. It was so good. And I said, you got to realize what you're loving is somebody else's material. This is all borrowed material. And I said, if you love it so much, maybe you'll just love him a little bit more. I said, so I'm not going to ask you this time. Just give me your hand and let's ask Jesus to become the Lord of your life. Get saved right now. And so he did. And what a salvation that was. Well, we were looking at some things concerning how that the message, you know, has been skewed over the years. But the truth of the matter is God has removed, I love this, 2 Corinthians 5:19. It was God personally present in Christ, reconciling and restoring the world to favor with himself. Notice he said the world, not just a Christian, but the world has been restored to favor. What does it mean? Excuse me, not counting up or holding their trespasses, but canceling them and committing to us the message of reconciliation. So simply what that means is God's not holding the world in a place of judgment, because Jesus took the sin of everyone, past, present, and future, and actually cured the sin problem. Do men still sin? Yeah, that's because they don't know that there's a loving God that will change them from death to life and cause their very nature to become like his, where sin will no longer be the issue and it will no longer be the desire of your heart. Do Christians still miss it? Do they still sin? Do they still make wrong choices? They do very oftentimes, yes. Why? Because they're more about the flesh than they are the spirit. You know, there's whole groups of denominations that will not tell their people that their people are spiritual beings that can have a connection with God, and they claim to be Christian. There's some other religions out there that do a better job telling their people that they're spiritual beings. Not that I'm going to follow those religions, because they don't have a risen Savior. The one that came up with their religion may even have had some really good messages, but he's in the grave. He's not alive. Jesus is alive. He is the way, the truth, and the life. I love this over here, you know, in Colossians chapter 2, 13 and 14, and it's in the, get ready for this, the Lombok translation. You gotta like that there's so many good translations. Well, brother, I only read the New King James or the King James. Well, even that is still the King James's translation. So get over it, will you please? We're giving translations to help come alive the truths of the original scriptures. It says, but God forgave your sin and brought you back to life with Christ. God crossed out the whole debt against us in his account books. Think of that. He crossed out the whole debt against us in his account books. He no longer counted the laws that we had broken. He nailed the account book to the cross and closed the account. Come on, think about that. Not only did he have an account book, but he crossed them all out. Then he nailed that account book to the cross, and he closed the account. You don't have an account open with a record of your sin. Jesus took all that sin. Now, Santa Claus does. You say, what in the world would you bring Santa Claus in this for? You better watch out. You better not cry. You better not pout. I'm telling you why. Santa Claus has come into town. He sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows if you've been bad or good, so be good for goodness sake. See, Santa Claus is keeping a record of whether you've done good or bad, because you can be assured if you've done anything bad, you're getting coal. Well, that's not God. God's not handing out coal. He's handing out blessings. God actually believes that his goodness will lead men to repentance quicker than putting the gavel down and sentencing you to death. Do you know most people in life, unless they've been deceived for so long, they don't remember when it was actually accurate and where it got off. Most people in life know very, very well when they miss it, when they do wrong. Their own heart tells them. I'll tell you what, it's so good to revel in some of these thoughts right here, because this is what's called the dispensation of grace, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 2. The dispensation of grace is this time period that all the past prophets longed to look into, that they might actually live in this dispensation where sin was wiped far from you. Come on, we read last week that testimony of, I'll go back to it. I don't mind doing it. It's from the Knox translation, what David said, blessed are those who have all their faults forgiven, all their transgressions buried away. Blessed is the man who is not a sinner in the Lord's reckoning. To reckon is accounting. So blessed is the man who is not a sinner in the Lord's account books. And we just read from Lombok that he not only cleared your account, but took the account book and put it on the cross and nailed it. Closed the account. Why? So that you could actually experience God without the fear that sin would cause you to die in the presence of God's holiness and goodness. That's what they feared in the old covenant. They couldn't get too close to God or they'd die because they had sin in their life. And their nature was sinful. Well, God wiped out the sin problem, took all your sins to the cross, buried them, and then when you accepted him, he changed your nature into a perfect, godly, divine nature so that you could actually hang out with God and you wouldn't blow up. Come on, it's another way of saying that sin in the presence of a holy God is going to implode. But when sin has been removed, then you and God can be joined together as one, and you can walk with him and hear him and experience him every day. And that's what Jesus said when he said, "Let your light so shine." What do you mean? There's something alive in you that you want to live out of your life and experience. I know this is making sense, and I'm watching our time. We've gone about 11 minutes. We've got a couple minutes left. Listen to this over in Hebrews chapter 8, 10 through 12. In the Message Bible says, this new plan I'm making with Israel isn't going to be written on paper, isn't going to be chiseled in stone. Well, what was written on paper and chiseled in stone? The law. The law that you were supposed to keep perfectly to expect anything good to come from God. And my goodness, if you missed it, you were then subject to what? All the curses of life. Judgment. God put judgment on Jesus so that we could live in the blessings of God. God put judgment and took that judgment and sin away from you so that you could experience God. Come on, it's not so that you can go to church and show up at 10 o'clock and get a badge that says, I have perfect attendance. Oh, look at me. I've got Christianity. That's not Christianity, folks. I thank God for the building that's called a church, but the real church is the people that are actually in the building, which means church is something that you're in 24/7, which is an experience with God. And then you come maybe on a Sunday or a Wednesday or a Thursday, Friday, Saturday, whatever day of the week, you come together with other people that are experiencing God, and you begin to exchange these testimonies as you continue to hear more from God's truth to enlighten your mind and open your heart to even greater experiences yet. That sounds like fun. Now that I would sign up for a two-week revival, for a month revival, for an ongoing revival, if that's what we were experiencing at the services, testimony after testimony, the witness after the witness of the Holy Spirit doing works in everyone, convincing everyone that if he could do it for you, he could do it for me. And being in an atmosphere where God was free to move, not under the law, but under the grace of God, that would be a service, and that would be worth going every single night. Anything short of that feels like we're in trouble and we're being punished. Someone say amen to that. All right, come on, stay with me for just a moment. This is really good. It goes on to say, this time I'm writing out the plan in them, carving it on the lining of their hearts. I'll be their God. They'll be my people. They won't go to school to learn about me or buy a book called God in 5 easy lessons. They'll all get to know me firsthand, the little and the big, the small and the great. They'll get to know me, which means they'll experience me by being kindly forgiven with the slate of their sins forever wiped clean. Do you realize the whole thing we just got through sharing with you in the last 3 sessions was all so that you could know it is the wiping clean of all your sins which gives you the motivation and the potential and the right and privilege to experience God as though he is a real person in real life, in real time, not a fairy tale, not a Bible story, not just learning about him, but actually enjoying the person of God himself. That's Christianity. Let's move from that small place, 2 Corinthians chapter 6 in the Message Bible. Your lives aren't small, but you're living them in a small way. Let's move from that small corral, being a wild stallion and Mustang that we are, bust through the gate and run for the wide open spaces of God's life, love, and grace. Folks, take this today. Run with this. My goodness, the things the last 3 sessions that we shared is nothing but amazing foundation for you to experience your Lord and Savior every day, all day long. Wow, I trust that you're getting this. I'm going to sign off right now and just say, send in those testimonies of God's grace to jhmi@jimhockaday.com. Find that contact website page on jimhockaday.com website. go to Jim Hockaday Ministry Facebook page, follow us, or go to the YouTube channel, Adventures in Grace, and subscribe. Be a part of this every week, and you will grow until testimonies abound. You'll never be so excited as to realize the same little testimony of acknowledging the goodness of God and the beauty of nature is the same type of connection that's necessary to watch a cancerous tumor disappear, leave your body, and the doctors say that was miraculous. Till next time, we'll see you again. Bye.